Wow, thank you, Youth Praise Team. What a tremendous job that they did today. And every time they take this stage to lead in worship. And so we're going to miss you very, very much. I want you to take your copy of God's Word this morning and open to the book of Deuteronomy. I mean, I'm waiting for the Almighty to speak here. I'm just going to be quiet and listen. All right. And by the way, anytime you read the Word of God, the Almighty speaks. Let's stand to honor the reading of God's Word. I'm just going to read verse 1, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. The text that we're going to be looking at is all of this, all the way from chapter verse 1 to verse 20. But I want to read, since we're going to look at a lot of this as we go through the text, I want to read just verse 1, and then I'm going to get on my knees and pray and invite you to join me as the Lord gives you grace to do so. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 1. Moses writes, or he speaks actually, he says, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments." Pray with me. Father, we ask for grace as we seek to be commandment keepers, not because keeping the commandment makes us right with God, but because in Christ Jesus we are right and we want to please our God. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to share with the church, to look them in the eyes and to see them looking back. Lord, and particularly these seniors, may this word today be a good word for them as they move forward through the change in life, but also a good word for each and every one of us as we seek to please our God. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. I've entitled this message this morning, "The Promised Land of Graduation." And the reason I have called it that is essentially this. You've been working your entire life to get to this point. Congratulations, you've made it. You know, it's been a lot of hard work, right? It's been 12 years of getting up and going to class and doing homework and eating school lunches and going to extracurricular activities and practices and band and ball games and all of that culminating to at this point in time. And so you should be congratulated for that. I mean, what a tremendous thing that you are here. You've set a goal. You've accomplished that goal through a lot of help and a lot of love and a lot of work on your part. A lot of grace from your parents and from God. But this is not it. This is not the end. This is just the beginning, right? I mean, how many of you parents, y'all remember when you graduated high school and you thought you'd accomplished something, right? That you had made it? But it's not the end, is it? It's just the beginning. It really is. It's just the beginning. You've got a lot of changes about to happen. Y'all are about to step off into a brave new world. Some of you going right to work. Some of you are going to the military. I know that happens sometimes. Some of you going to college. You'll be picking a major and pursuing a career path. But regardless, you're in a time of life right now where change is about to happen. Change. And the way you navigate this change is going to impact the degree of blessing that you get from God as you move forward in life. And we have a word from God, Deuteronomy chapter 8, with instructions on just how to manage this change. See, the Hebrew children, which Moses had been leading through the wilderness for some 40 years, they finally made it to the promised land. And so for them, for many of them, their whole life had been getting to this point, and they're facing their graduation in a sense. And Moses is about to share with them a commencement address, okay? And the way they had gotten here is it's kind of been a long journey because they've been here before, except it didn't work out all that well. God had sent Moses to Egypt to deliver the Hebrew people, the Jews, the people of Israel from Egyptian slavery and bondage. He went down there. He did that. He delivered the people. They made it all the way to the promised land. And God said, go see the land that I'm giving to you. And they sent those 12 spies there. And they went and looked at the land. And they saw giants. And they saw fortified cities. And they came back. And most of them, all of them except but two, said, man, we can't take that land. And so they disobeyed God. They complained against God, and God got pretty upset about it, and God punished them for their disobedience. As a matter of fact, God had kind of looked at them and said, look, I didn't ask you to go and check and see if you could take the land. He said, I want you to go to see the land that I am giving you. But because you didn't trust me, you didn't trust me to give you the land that I promised that I would, so you're not getting the land. As a matter of fact, this whole generation has got to die before I give you the land that I promised. And so he set this rule in Numbers 14 that said everybody 20 years old and older that rejected God's promises to give the land had to die before the next generation would receive the promised land. And it took 40 years to happen. And now here they are, back again. Are things going to go better this time? Well, Moses stands up. Joshua and Caleb are going to get to go in. Moses is not going to get to go in, though he has been a long time with people leading them because of some of his own mistakes that he's made. But he's got a message for the people to carry them through into the promised land. A commencement address, if you will. Their whole life been coming to this point to get them to this place in life to receive what God had promised them. And this is what Moses has to say to them to prepare them. Essentially, his message, if we want to boil it down into one sentence, is just this. Be careful to remember the Lord when you enter the promised land. Look at verse 1. We read this before. I'll read it again. He says, the whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And then look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. He says, take care lest you forget the Lord, your God. How? By not keeping his commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you on this day. So God cautioned the people, look, remember me when you go into this time of change, when you go into this place of blessing, remember me. Because if you get into it and you don't remember me, it won't be a pathway to blessing. It'll be a pathway to destruction. And that's a good word for each of you seniors here today. You're at a place of change. You're at a place where you're receiving some of the bounty of God's blessing. And as you move into this time of changing circumstances, what I'm calling this promised land of graduation, just remember God. And whatever door He opens for you, whatever land you find yourself residing in, remember God. If you remember Him, it'll be a place of bounty and blessing and joy. But if you forget God, it'll just be a doorway to destruction. Be mindful. Be careful to remember God. Remember to do what? Remember to, number one, trust in God's provision. Trust in His provision. You know, I'm quite sure that conversation came up at some point in those 40 years amongst the younger generation as they were tired of the hot wind blowing sand into their tent, or maybe the 900th time that some adult told them to go pick up manna. that they had a question for God. God, why don't you just kill this generation and just let us go in now? I mean, we're tired of listening to these parents and grandparents, and man, we've got our own plans. It was their fault that we're out here like it is now. Why don't you just kill them off? Why do we have to wait? And the answer is, it's because God is using the desert experience to prepare them for the promised land. Know then, verse 5, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So these 40 years were difficult years, but they were not wasted years. God wanted to teach them that they could trust him for their needs. You know, and the same is true for you. Some of you are 17, 18 years old now. Been some hard years, haven't they? But they're not wasted years. I have conversations sometimes with young people that say, man, I'm just ready to get out of the house. How many of you have said that at one point or another, right? I'm just ready to get out of the house. I got my own plans. I got my own dreams. And what am I doing? Having to go to English? I know English. I speak English. I mean, what? And what's the deal with like algebra and calculus? I'm never going to have to use that stuff again. Come on. Let me get to college, or let me get to my trade school, or let me get to the work where I'm going to do what life is really about. But I want you to know that God's using these years. Yeah, they're hard years, but they're not wasted years. They're to prepare you for what God has for you in the future. And that is in whatever he has for you to trust in him. Trust what? Trust in his provision for what? Well, first of all, physical needs. God taught his people to trust in him for physical needs. But notice when it says that he fed them, that he didn't give them a seat at a 5-star resort with a 7-course menu, right? This is what it says about how God fed his people in the wilderness. Verse 3, he says, and he humbled you. I'm going to stop right there for a moment. How many of us need humbling? Me. How many of us like humbling? Not me. That's what he used those years for. He said he humbled you. And listen to this. He let you hunger. It was God's plan for them to hunger a bit. Why? So that he could feed them. But how did he feed them? And he fed them with manna. Manna, which you did not know. We'll talk about that in just a second. Nor did your fathers know. Why? That he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. He fed you with manna. Manna, in which you did not know. Neither did your fathers know. In the Hebrew, do y'all know what manna means? It actually means something. The word created, it means something. It literally means, what's that? Do y'all know that? And the reason is, I'm going to tell you how it got the name. This is how it got the name. In Exodus 16:50, you know, they were hungry. And God said, well, I'll feed them with manna, and little flakes that would form on the ground. This is it. Listen to this. It says, when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? It's kind of like mystery meat in the lunchroom, right? You know, you serve, you look at it, I'm supposed to eat this? Well, they didn't know what it was. And Moses said to them, well, it's the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. And they're like, this don't look like the bread my mama made. Not even close to it. And they didn't like it at all. And they complained over that manna that God used to feed them. Numbers 11:6. But now our strength is dried up and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. I'm so tired of manna. I get up in the morning. What is there for breakfast? Manna. Lunch, manna. Supper, manna. Well, certainly something will be on the menu different for tomorrow, right? Nope. Manna. And they have to go out and pick it up every day because if they go like, well, I'm going to get like a whole week's worth, what happens to it? It spoils. So God wouldn't even allow them to go pick up enough that they could have for the rest of the week or the next 2 days, unless it was the Sabbath, it would spoil. Why? What was God doing? Every day they would get up hungry. And every day they had to trust that God would put the manna there to feed them. God is teaching them that He would care for them. Maybe not with everything they wanted, but exactly what they needed. Physical needs, first with food, but it even showed up in their clothing. Look at verse 4, Deuteronomy 8. It says, "Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years." That reflects Deuteronomy 29:5. It says, "I have led you 40 years in the wilderness, and your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals not worn off your feet." Now just stop for a moment. First of all, how would you like to have to wear the same clothes for 40 years? Same clothes 40 years. I mean, you're getting up and you're eating the same meal every meal for 40 years. And here you are, you're having to wear the same exact clothes for 40. Now, I know some of your parents have some clothes in their closet. They're 40 years old. But just past that, that's not the point. The point is that there's this supernatural work of God that God preserved even the shoes on their feet to care for His children. Parents, how many of you would like to be able to buy shoes for your kids that lasted 40 years? Wouldn't that be good? Close 40 years, that would save us some money, wouldn't it? Of course, but God provides. And what you need to hear in the midst of this is that God does not always provide everything that you want. But He always provides everything that you need. Somebody said it like this: He doesn't always give you all your greeds, but He gives you all your needs. King David summed it up like this in Psalm 37:25. He said, "I've been young and now I am old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread." It was David's point here. He says, look, everywhere I've seen those that obey God, they don't go hungry. God meets their needs, and oftentimes in supernatural ways. Trust in God for those physical needs, but also trust in Him for spiritual growth. He says here, connected to this, that He provides you these things so that you might trust Him, so that you might grow spiritually. Verse 3, going back to this, "He humbled you, let you hunger, fed you with manna that you didn't know." What is that? I don't know what that is. Why? "That He might make you know that man does not live by bread alone." Well, if we don't live by bread alone, what do we live by? I mean, we need some like steak and deer meat and cattle, right? What is that? He says, you know what that is? That's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It meets your deepest, most needs. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Going back in verse 3 again, we see this. It's a humbling. It's a humbling meant for a purpose. He humbled you. He let you hunger. He fed you with manna that your fathers didn't know, that you might know that real life, that true life, that true sustenance, that true satisfaction doesn't come in just physical things. But life is spiritual. And satisfaction comes from not just what God gives you, but who God is to you. Your walk with God. You know, God sometimes holds back our physical needs to teach us the supremacy of our spiritual needs. To eat and to drink, that's just to exist. But to know the Word of God, to live for His glory, that's true satisfaction that we were created for. And the great danger here that God knows is real for the Hebrews and is real for us today and is real for you today, is real for all of us, is that their life would simply consist of pursuing things. That it would just be about acquiring things and trusting things to give us meaning and joy and security for life. And the point of life is not to acquire things so that we can enjoy things. The point of life is to know God, to glorify God, to enjoy God forever. That's where life is, no matter how many things you have. There's a story told about this prominent businessman who was talking to an angel. The angel said, "Well, what can I do for you?" He said, the businessman said, "Well, tell me what the stock prices are a year from now so that I can know where to invest and make a whole bunch of money." Angel said, "Sure, I'll do that for you." He produced them a Wall Street Journal from 1 year in the future, right, to the day. The man looked at it. Well, he was excited. He was overjoyed. Thinking, man, I know what all the stock prices are. I'm gonna make $1 million, $1 billion. You know, who knows how much money you can make like that. Then a tear started running down the man's face. His whole demeanor changed. The angel said, "What's wrong?" See, there was a story on the next page of 20 prominent business leaders who had died during that year. And his name was on the list. Mark Dever once said, "He who dies with the most toys still dies." So when you cross into the land, that promised land of graduation, the danger is that you'll forget God and you'll try to trust in yourself for those physical needs, or trust in yourself to meet what is truly satisfying in life. But don't do that. Don't forget God. He's the one who gives provision. Trust in God's provision. Secondly, trust in God's direction. Trust in His direction. I mean, God, He wants to be optimistic about the future, and God, I think, wants you to be optimistic about your future. So He points to the fact that leading them in the wilderness was ultimately to bring them to a good outcome. Look at verse 16 of chapter 8. He says, "This is God who led you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers didn't know, that He might humble you and test you." For what reason? To do you good in the end. You see that? To do you good in the end. Verses 7 through 10, it speaks to the good that He's leading them into. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. A land of brooks, of water, fountains, springs flowing out of the valleys and hills. It's a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. Lands of olive trees and honey. A land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full." What a wonderful thing. No more manna. "And you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that He has given you." What a beautiful picture of the bounty and blessing that they will receive if they go into the land and trust Him and stay faithful to Him. And seniors, you need to hear that the land that God is bringing you to, and it'll look different for each and every one of you, but the land that He's bringing you to, if you'll stay faithful and you'll remember Him, is a good land. It's a land of joy and satisfaction and peace and blessing. What will that look like for you? I don't know. Some of you might be doctors and lawyers or mechanics or engineers or teachers or farmers or ministers, missionaries. It doesn't matter what land He brings you into. What matters is if you stay faithful in whatever land that is. The greatest place of satisfaction in life is inside the will of God, staying obedient to God. Now, one of the things that I struggled with when I was your age was, but what if I don't want what God wants out of my life? I think you need to remember that the most important thing about your life is not what you do with it, but it's who you serve with it. And whatever He leads you to, spend it serving the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, He would say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will keep your paths straight." Trust in God for provision. Trust in God for direction. And then finally, do not under any circumstances trust in yourself. Do not under any circumstances trust in yourself. That is pride. And if I can tell you something that God hates based on the Word of God, it's pride. He hates it. Hates it when we take credit for what He has done. And that's the greatest danger of walking into the promised land. That we look at all the blessings that God has provided and go, hey, look what we did. Look what we did. 40 years in the wilderness. Some of us not quite that long. But look where we made it. Look at all these cities that we overcame. Look at all these peoples that we conquered. Do not think you did that on your own. Just listen. Verse 11 and follow. I'm just going to read this. You need to hear this. If you haven't heard anything else, mark this in your Bible. Listen to this. Some of you are going to mess this up and you're going to remember, hey, my preacher way back in the day told me not to do this. I did this. He told me this would happen. It happened. Listen to me. Okay. Moses says to the people entering the promised land, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His rules, and His statutes which you command this day. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart would be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slave, out of the house of slavery, who led you through great and terrifying wilderness with His fiery serpents and His scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water, who brought you water out of flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness. Yes, it was manna, but He fed you that your fathers didn't know. And He might humble you and test you to do you good to the end. Beware. Listen, watch out, danger, beware, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. Seniors, you're not here solely because you worked hard and you got a lot of brain power and maybe you're athletic or maybe whatever. You're not here because you accomplished a great goal that got you here. You're here because you have a great God that loves you and blessed you in the midst of the wilderness, in the midst of the hard times. He's got a good plan for you. As He was teaching you, molding you, shaping you, readying you to get on your own, and while you're on your own, to trust Him. Because God knew that there was this great danger that once they entered the promised land and when things got easier, they began to experience the blessing of God, that they would begin to think that their work and their brain and their strength and not God produced the blessing. Now listen to me for a moment. Things in your life are not always going to be as hard as they are right now, relatively speaking. What I mean by that is that there's going to come a day where you are done with whatever you're pursuing. You've got your college degree. You've got that level of work. You know, maybe the job that you're trying to get, you've got whatever. All right. There's going to come a time, prayerfully, that you don't have to turn to daddy and mama for money. All parents said, amen. All right. There's going to come a time where you can afford your own phone, your own car, your own insurance, your own gas, your own house, oh, God bless that day. Listen, there's going to be a time. Things get relatively, quote, easier for you. And when that time comes, you make sure you give God the glory for getting you to that point. Because God despises people who steal his glory. James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Isaiah 48:11, for my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. Stealing God's glory, surest way to destruction. Verse 19 here in Deuteronomy 8. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. You know, that's exactly what happened to the Hebrew people. They lost the promised land. You know why? Because they got there and they forgot God. They did the very thing that Moses warned them not to do. I've known many a high school student that was really faithful when they were under their parents' wings. They came to church. They were faithful in quiet times, you know. Fill in the blank. They weren't bad kids. They didn't, you know, do all the things that we don't want kids to do. I'd say it like that. But then when they got to college, they felt like, well, then I've got some freedom now. I'm not under my parents' watchful eye all the time. I've kind of earned the right to loosen up just a little bit. And they stopped going to church and they stopped pursuing the Lord. And they start trying and experimenting in some areas that they know they really shouldn't. And you know what happens? Destruction. Because they forgot God. The surest way to lose the promised land is to forget who brought you there. I want to close by just bringing this illustration up. I was thinking about how to close this, and think about all the books you have to read in high school. We had to read a bunch. Y'all read a bunch of books in high school? It doesn't get better if you go to college, I promise you, okay? And especially if you go to seminary, God help you. But think about some of the books that I had to read. I don't know if y'all did. Did y'all read, like, I wrote down a few here. Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson. Y'all wrote that? I read that. What about Alice in Wonderland? Lewis Carroll? Not just watch the movie. I'm talking about I actually read the book, right? All right? My favorite book that we read in high school was Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. Read that? It's good. Good. So I was thinking about those books, and this thing called thought crossed my mind. What about the pen that was used to write those great classics that have inspired people, entertained people for so many years? You ever think about the pen used to write those books and many other classic books? Of course you hadn't. No one does. No one ever thinks about the pen. Why? Because the pen doesn't deserve any credit. The pen is just created to write. And what it writes is merely a reflection of whose hand it's in. I want to close by telling you this. You're the pen. And you have been suited with all that you need for God to write a beautiful story of God's grace and glory in and through Jesus Christ in your life. But it'll only happen if you make sure you remain in His hands. I want to give our parents an opportunity.